I was quite overwhelmed the number of children that went out, Alan. Okay. It's so good, isn't it? To be in the presence of God. It's so good. I feel like, I've got stuff that's written down here and I probably will keep to it to a point, but I feel like Holy Spirit's already doing so much this morning, and I feel like actually, hopefully, and I know through what I say, he'll be cementing in you something of what's already started to shift, that's already started to happen, that God's already been birthing in you through the worship time and through the words that have been brought here this morning. I've been hearing God speak to me a lot about being like a child. And so that's what I'm going to speak about this morning. I think age is quite a funny thing, isn't it? I mean, I think how can I be whatever age I am? How can I be 48? Am I 48? But in the head, I don't feel that. Sometimes I feel like I'm, 21, or, we all have that, don't we? Sometimes we feel our age. There are times I do feel that my age. When I look back over my life, I do think, actually, I probably have done 48 years worth of experiences, 48 years of good stuff and bad stuff, but loving Jesus throughout it all. But I have been feeling that as I get older, I want to get more like a child. I want to be less serious. I want to be more joyful. I want to have more fun. I want to know more freedom. Because actually that's what we're called to. That's, again, something of what's come through this morning. And if you were here last week, didn't we have such an amazing treat? Helen Youssef was with us. If you weren't here, she is like an itinerant, creative, amazing, prophetic painter, singer. And she blessed our socks off. There is a recording which you can listen to. But to be in the room was something really special that I've never really experienced. She sang over us in the way that Father God sings over us. There's a verse, isn't there, in Zephaniah about he delights in us and he sings over us in his delight. And that is really what I felt like he was doing last week. The call that she left us with was to be childlike in his care, to die to ourselves so that we can be children each day. And this whole story of the gospel, isn't it, is the story of our Father, God, wanting to get his kids back. And that's been his purpose since the beginning of time. Adam was given both freedom and authority in the garden. He and his wife enjoyed incredible intimacy with God. They were both naked, but they felt no shame. And that's what we're invited into, that authority, that freedom, that intimacy. That is where we're created to be, in that place. And the most tragic verse in the Bible, in my opinion, is in Genesis 3. Then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and they hid from the Lord God among the trees of the garden. Because what happened was when Adam and Eve chose knowledge over intimacy and trust, had eternal consequences for their relationship with Father and ours as well, and they were banished from the Garden of Eden. But what is so lovely is even in that moment we see Father's compassion, because they realised that they were naked, they felt that shame, but he crafted clothes for them, didn't he, out of animal skins. His compassion and grace just reaches across that divide that we were singing about this morning. The story of the whole of the Bible and the history, in fact, is the Father searching for his kids, wanting to restore them back, wanting to bring us back to that relationship of freedom, authority, and intimacy. We're his kids. So let's just pause. There's a verse, 1 John 3, verse 1, I think is going to come up. This is our identity. See what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God. Let's just pause. We are children of God. And Easter Day, as Alan said, we're going to be baptising some people. And we asked them some questions before they get baptized. And the first one is, do you know you are a dearly loved child of God? That's where we start. That's our identity. We're dearly loved. We're precious. We're accepted. We have the best dad ever. He gives us freedom, authority. He invites us to live in intimacy with him, just as Adam and Eve had before the fall. He seeks us out. He's the good shepherd, leaves the 99, goes after the one. The father who looks after the son, who's gone and done his own thing in rebellion, just waits. He just waits despite what he'd done. That's our father. And I was provoked the other week when Jackie said that she's written out 18 pages of statements relating to our identity that she's found in the Word. We are co-heirs with Jesus. We're seated in heavenly realms. We're loved. We're chosen. We're forgiven. We're redeemed. We're part of his family. We're his delight, his handiwork. We're a new creation. All of these flow out of our fundamental identity as children of God. And we're created to live out of that relationship. Okay, so I've got a video that almost played halfway through worship. it's a bit American. Forgive that it's the reference to Father's Day. I know it's not Father's Day. Just have a look at this.
Yo, comedian Michael Jr. here. As you know, I just flat out enjoy doing comedy. But one of the things I love way more than that is being a dad. Not too long ago, I'm going through some video footage, and I run into this video of my youngest daughter being born. Now, of course, I was there. I actually took the video, but I had never really experienced it from this perspective before. Now, look, we're in the hospital room. She's sticky, and she's baby and all that stuff, and she's in the middle of crying. And then I speak up. I start talking to her. And watch how she responds when she hears my voice. Okay, Portland, look, I'm right here. It's okay, it's okay. I'm right here. We're doing just fine. It's okay. It's okay, I'm right here. Right here, yeah, it's okay. It's okay, baby, it's okay. That was pretty awesome. So check it. A few minutes later, the nurse starts working on her, puts her pamper on her, and I'm not saying anything, and she actually starts to cry again. Then I speak up, she hears my voice, and stops crying, like again. But I want you to notice what else happens after I tell her that I love her.
Portland,
it's okay. It's okay. It's good. It's good. It's good. I'm right here. I'm right here. I am right here. I love you. I love you. I love you. Yeah, I'm right here. I'm right here. It's okay. It's okay. That's just phenomenal. Like, whoa. Here's the thing. We'll always have times where we're not as comfortable, probably even to the point of tears, where life is just heavy. The key thing to do in those moments is to be still and listen for the Father's voice, because he is trying to talk to you. And I can tell you what he wants you to know is that he loves you. All you got to do is open your eyes. Happy Father's Day.
It's amazing, isn't it? That's how we're created to live. To be responsive. And actually, that's all we need to do is open our eyes. He's right there. We're his kids. And as I said, I feel like he's wanting to restore something of childlikeness amongst us as his people at the moment. And Helen's song, as I said, ended with, child of mine, be childlike in his care. In Matthew 18, Jesus is answering his disciples' question about who is the greatest in the kingdom. You'd have thought he might go, it's me. What does he do? He calls a child. And he says, truly, I tell you, unless you change and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever takes the lowly position of this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whoever welcomes one such child in my name welcomes me. There's a transformation that needs to happen in us to enter the kingdom. And it's not what the world would expect it is. It's proper upside down kingdom stuff. He doesn't point to himself as the greatest. Instead, he points to a child. There's no qualifications needed. We're born into our position in the royal family and we have to grow up to become like little children. Actually. I mean, the disciples wanted to be great, and I'm sure we've all can confess to have these aspirations. But Jesus is predominantly pointing to the humility and the position of children in this verse. Because the way it goes on, he says about, become like little children, you will never enter. Therefore, and whoever takes the lowly position of this child. The way children have been viewed over history has changed, hasn't it, through time. But in Jesus' time, they were considered to hold the lowest status in society. They were subject to the authority of the elders. They weren't taken seriously. They were not one to be looked after, not one to be looked up to. So with that lowly position, that is what Jesus calls us to. I think this is the good news. We can overthink it, can't we? Because we know we're royal. We know we've got authority. We know our identity is you know, to have that authority, and we live in the kingdom, and you know, we are significant. We're important. Jesus is not saying you're insignificant because you're a child. That's the absolute opposite of what he's saying. He's wanting to restore to us that intimacy, that freedom, and that authority that he gave us at the beginning of time. And We can overthink it, can't we? We can overthink it, and I think we can overthink most things. But the good news is, we've already heard, we are children. Therefore, we have childlikeness in us. So it's up to us to engage with Holy Spirit, isn't it, to bring that childlikeness out. So interestingly, Paul, when he went to the Thessalonians, he said to them that he went to them as children. He said, he came amongst them as children. I just picked that. I was reading this week. I thought that's interesting. Probably he went with that posture of humility. He grasped that essence of needing to do that as he'd experienced Jesus himself as well. As we encounter Jesus, recognize who we are and whose we are, something in an awareness of that lowly position is going to be woken up in us. So I know that I've experienced, particularly over recent weeks, encounters with the presence of God, with Jesus, where all I can do is kneel. And last time I spoke about Mary of Bethany, I had such an awareness of the presence of the glory of God during the last few minutes of worship that I was just kneeling on the floor. I don't know if any of you are aware, Pete was filling in with about Lawrence's birthday or something, I think, at the time, just to give me a bit of time. The weight of his presence just was tangible, and I needed to just have that moment to surrender. I felt overwhelmed with thankfulness and gratitude to God, and intimacy with him that was just such a privilege. And as I began to speak, I hadn't necessarily thought about the thing that I did at the beginning. I ended up speaking straight away about the fact that every encounter that Mary had with Jesus happened at his feet. A lowly position. I think as we recognise our childlikeness in our position, Father God will reveal more of himself and his glory to us and among us. So there was a group of us who were really blessed last week as well, able to go to Kingdom Legacy Symposium. So Kingdom Legacy is an emerging group of church leaders who are connecting together, mainly through Andy and Teresa Merrick, who are based, our friends in Glasgow. And we heard so many stories of encouraging things that God is moving powerfully through churches across the country. For example, there was the leaders of a church in Leicester shared that in 2022, they saw 122 people saved, which is roughly 12 a month. And in 2023, 369. And so far this year, more than 80. So I've got my regular maths, but I think that's a lot more than what it was last year. God is on the move. And it was brilliant to hear these stories and be encouraged by them, but it was far more impactful for me to spend time in the presence of God when they ministered to us. They had such an awareness of what Holy Spirit was doing in the room. And they commentated on what they saw Holy Spirit was doing. And it just drew us, it drew me into another Mary moment, I'm beginning to call them. Found myself back on my knees just to sit with Jesus, to gaze on him, to see him again. And I mean, I felt convicted in that place, you know, and we do in the presence of God, don't we? But maybe not being all in for not grasping the immensity of the presence of the glory of God, missing the wonder and awe of him at times. I think it can be easy for us to become over familiar with the presence of God too. And I felt like that was something that was being said in me. The holiness of the presence of God as well, and the privilege that it is to be able to engage with him and what he's done in order for us to experience that. So the truth is that he is King, isn't he, as well as Father. He is seated on the throne in heaven, and the whole world belongs to him. He is in control. He is Lord. He is holy. He is orchestrating world events, and he will be coming back. And in the midst of the truth of that and that reality, we get to revel in the safety of our relationship with our Father, to grow in childlikeness. I feel like God's awakening us again, a wonder and awe of him, isn't he? Of just who he is and what he's done. So children are born with a sense of wonder. From the moment they kind of like find their hands and they're like, just look at them, don't they? Sometimes it's just lovely. And then they start to collect sticks and stones, and sticks and stones are amazing. And we were like, really? Okay. That's just beautiful. And as we look at him and all that he's done, we have the choice to engage with that same sense of awe and wonder again, don't we? And I feel like, you know, we've been doing that this morning. It can be, again, we can get over familiar as we've ever been Christian for a long time. And sometimes lose a bit of that. There's lots of ways to remain full of wonder. One of them is to watch kids. One of them is to read the Bible. It's pondering and meditating on verses like, heaven is my throne and earth is my footstool. Just kind of let that, use your imagination. What does that mean? What does that say about God? Stay connected to him. Talk to other Christians about him. Celebrate and remember the testimonies. Watch nature programs. Go for walks. Cultivate thankfulness. Tune into the childlike nature of Holy Spirit inside of you. And sit at his feet. Sit at his feet. That's where we're going to find that awe and wonder again. There's an incredible thing that I discovered in that verse as well, the Matthew one. I don't know whether I've got it again, Matthew 18. But he says, when we associate here, and whoever welcomes one such child in my name welcomes me. It's quite profound, isn't it? And there are other places in the Bible where Jesus says he associates with the lowly and the humble. If you think about the sheep and the goats, Jesus associates himself with the hungry, the thirsty, the stranger, the prisoner. He says that as we help them and tend to their needs, we meet with him. He is in that lowly place. That's the position he chose to take. So Philippians 2 speaks of the humility of Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant and being found in human likeness. So Jesus, who is fully and completely God,
fully and completely God, permanently took on human form when he was born to Mary. He deliberately and permanently chose to limit his divinity in a body. He is completely God and completely man, and still is. That's something to ponder on in wonder and awe. When we take that lowly position, when we humble ourselves, we are imitating Jesus. And in that, I believe, we identify with him and we have the privilege of experiencing him in even greater measure, because that's where he is. We recognize again the truth of our oneness with him. He's in me, I'm in him, we are one. Jackie. It's good, isn't it? So we get to experience more on wonder. We get to experience more of Jesus. We get to experience more our authority, freedom, intimacy. There's a release of freedom found when we live in a place of childlike trust and surrender. An exciting invitation to step out in risk and faith. So children don't seem to be concerned about turning up in inappropriate places naked, I've discovered. There's that sense of who cares, you know? I'm not suggesting we go that far. But there is. Yeah, that would get the tongues wagging, wouldn't it? But, you know, David spoke of becoming undignified. I'll become even more undignified, he said, once the daughter of Saul was embarrassed about what he did. He was so taken up in worship that he didn't care. It's another thing kids do. He didn't care, and David didn't care what others thought of him. He was expressing that childlike trust, that vulnerability and that dependency, and that is what Father God loves. I love 1 Peter 5. In the Message version, it's brilliant, but the Message version I love. Live carefree before God. He's most careful with you. So we can live in that place of freedom, carefreeness, vulnerability, undignifiedness, if that's a word. We're called to a life of freedom, living free from anxiety and worry, simply because we are his children. Adam in the Garden of Eden, freedom, carefreeness. That's what he is restoring amongst us. Oftentimes, if I've been concerned about a certain situation, I just hear Holy Spirit say, do you trust me? Do you trust me? And that's all we need to know. That's enough. Let it go. Sometimes we have to let it go. We have to let go of the overthinking as well, don't we? I was thinking about Peter, and he walked out on the water. And I know, we all know that he took his eyes off Jesus and he sunk. But I wonder if he just suddenly went, oh, I'm standing on the water. And he started to overthink it. I can imagine myself doing the same thing. And then that was what caused him then almost to take his eyes off Jesus, and he sunk. Sometimes simplicity of faith is actually all we need. Sometimes us going, it says in the Bible, you heal all my diseases, for example. That's all I need. And sometimes in a place I've been in a place of, you know, deep, difficult times, painful and difficult times, actually sometimes it's enough just to say, I know you're God. I know you're good. And that simplicity of faith, that simplicity of those truths are enough. Stepping out in our simple belief and authority can change everything. To live in unity, we can live in unity and obedience as Jesus did, only by doing what he said, because Jesus just did what his Father was doing. He lived very simply as well, didn't he? Responding to his Father's voice, just like that baby. So, in that place of that posture before Jesus, of childlikeness, of surrender, we get to have him sing over us. We talk about the audience of one. And I feel like that's something that God's restoring in me. I can do the fear of man thing as good as the next person from time to time. I don't want to. Knowing Father's delight in us, knowing that he sings over us, and knowing that, you know, the affirmation, all the affirmation that I need, that actually is hardwired in me as a child. Your children want affirmation, don't they? All the time, stars in books,
at schools and show and tell time and all of that. We kind of need it. But the only place we're going to get it, where it's going to fulfill us, is in that place, childlike posture at the feet of Jesus and just reveling in it. I was so overwhelmed last week when Helen sang over me. And it was just astounding. God is so good. And because I put my voice memo on my phone about 15 minutes into Helen speaking, because I felt Holy Spirit say, put your voice memo on. So I got the whole thing on my phone, my song, which wasn't then recorded by the desk. So otherwise I wouldn't have had it. And so being able to edit it and listen to it and write down the words. And that's what God does for each of us. He sings over us, as we've already said. He will take great delight in you. He will quiet you with his love. He will rejoice over you with singing. Actually, his affirmation, his singing, his pride in you is all that we need. Sometimes it's easier said than done, but it's the truth. He is good. So in the freedom of our childlikeness, there's joy and creativity, which Joe's already said, so I'm not going to go there too much because we're running out of time. Where he is, there's joy. Yeah, and kids love to have fun and to play. Joe, actually, yesterday at the women, we referenced the women's thing, she prophesied over me, Daddy, God loves your sense of fun and is calling you to not only an intimate relationship with him, but one that is fun and with adventure and perhaps some mischief. So I love that. Thank you, God. So we get to be like children. We get to have fun. We get to experience his joy. We get to have adventure and play hide and seek, I think was what you mentioned, Joe. Rediscovering childlikeness is part of us finding out again who we are. We're children of God. We're not childish. In fact, in discovering our position as a child, we instead grow up into maturity as we discover Jesus in that place, as we rediscover wonder and awe and a childlike faith which causes us to grow deeper into him. We find again the identity which was intended for us in the beginning, one of intimacy, freedom and authority as we believe in him. One of Helen's songs for us, we had that, I trust him, didn't we? Sing that over and over again. And she felt like that song was for us. I think I've got some that you can look at those words. But I'm going to pray because we are running over time. And if you're a parent, you might want to go and get your children from the back room. If Holy Spirit's done stuff in you this morning, whether it's from the worship or, you know, what I've said, get someone to pray for you. Don't ignore. Lean into it. Let him settle it in you so you go out of this place differently. Let's move into that place of childlike surrender, dependence on him, awe and wonder at his presence, and joy. So, Father God, I thank you that you are our awesome, awesome Father. Thank you that there is no one better than you. I thank you, Jesus, that you're King. You're seated on the throne, but we get to delight in your presence as you delight in us, actually. Whew. Thank you, Jesus, that becoming like a child is actually growing up. And I pray that you'd help us this week to grow further and further into you, to know more and more of our identity, our childlikeness in your presence. We'd know your delight over us. Yeah. Thank you, God. Amen.